Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
What a blessing it's been to be here at Harmony Church. Charlotte and I were visiting as we drove from Brother Sonny and Sister Marilyn's over here this morning about how rich life is to have the fellowship of his people in the church. And not only just in a general way, but even a more distinct blessing is Brother Sonny and Sister Marilyn and Brother Stephen, and what a treasure it is to have their fellowship and friendship for so many years, and what a blessing it is to be here at Harmony. I remember so many years ago the blessings of being here when Brother Charles was pastor, and what a joy it's been to be at this church for worship in just life from way back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read verses 1 through 20. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. The epical truth of the resurrection of Christ. Life is filled with moments that change us forever. And so often, people's dramatic and devastating experiences completely alter life as it's once been. There was a flood in Wimberley on the Blanco River in 2015, and a young man there lost his wife and their daughter and son. They had simply gone out of Houston to spend the weekend in the hills of Texas. Rain came, and within 10 minutes, the Blanco River rose 30 feet. And the house they were in was swept down the river. And they all ended up in the river. And the man expressed, as the months went by after the loss of his wife and children, he thought he had cried so much that really he could have caused the flood again. An epical moment, and life has never been the same. Seems like life is that in so many ways. A brother and sister in the church in Tyler have a sweet little baby. 2 days later, the baby's gone. How do you comfort someone who's lost their first child within 48 hours? Probably not a day goes by but what they think of their sweet little one. It's everywhere. There can be the loss of loved ones, as I've mentioned. But sometimes it's, as one woman expressed, her life was not only devastated, but destroyed. That night, when she heard her dad's footsteps coming into her room, and as she was threatened, if she ever told of the horrendous details of a molesting father, she has not recovered. Friends, it's everywhere. Those moments that change life and are so epical that it's as if you measure all of life from that incident. Is there an incident that is good that can change life forever? And yes, there is. And the account before us is just that account. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And to understand it and to meet Christ in the truths of the gospel totally alters our existence for the good for the rest of our lives. Has the truth of the resurrection entered your understanding and changed your heart's view of life? That's what this account is about. The Corinthian church, if we were to race through it, had a plethora of problems, deep difficulties. And perhaps the apostle, to wrap it all into a bundle and say, though all of this is so devastating, here's the truth that summarily will change everything for the better. Now, I don't know where you are this morning and what events you're thinking. If only they had not come into my life, life would be okay. According to this word, the truths of the resurrection alter our life for the positive, the same as anything in our lives has altered life for the negative. Well, first of all, we notice from this passage that the resurrection is epical because it gives us a firm standing place. Notice verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. It's the truth of what happened. We live in a funny, I don't mean that as hilarious, but really an odd, in the sense that we avoid life as it is and try to cope with life that way. And we live on emotion too much of the time. We live in a Facebook culture, right? I mean, everything is if it's liked or disliked. It's not so much if it's truth or if it's not truth. It's just whether you like it or not. And friends, it's not when you go to the doctor and he speaks concerning perhaps a diagnosis you don't want to hear, and so you click dislike and then just leave it alone. But neither does it help so much when something good happens to click like and then everything's wonderful. It's not that at all. The truth of the resurrection is so phenomenal because it is fact, and we need the blessing of believing its truth, and that's what will bless us. How many of y'all believe in the Alamo? Of course, being from Texas, I have to use this example. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Bowie and Crockett and, you know, Travis, I mean, in 13 days, friends, Texans believe in it because it actually happened. I was reading recently about someone asked me, I'd been on a trip and we went through Vicksburg, and they said, did you stop at the battlefield? Well, it's not a matter of whether you believe that the battle happened there or not. In fact, I read that, I think it was 2014, some hunters got a gator, and when the gator was examined after they had killed it and were going to look at their kill, they found 9 projectiles that when they were taken from the animal and they were examined, now this is hard to believe, but it's what I read. They found they were fired from a musket, and the projectiles had deteriorated enough in the carcass of the animal that they determined the gator, weighing 900 and some pounds, had actually lived through the Civil War till now, and the projectiles were from the era of the Civil War. You say, what's the point of all that? I'm telling you, Vicksburg happened, and the resurrection happened. And we stand on what happened. And we have a firm standing. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. You turn to Romans 16 and you find name after name after name after name. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he says, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who was the first fruits of Achaia. Greet Mary, who bestowed on me much labor. Salute Andronicus and Julia, my kinsmen. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban. What's the point of all this? The point of it all is that they were actual people. Now, if I go home and I tell people at home that I actually preached that from the book of Genesis and preached 4 sermons from the book of Genesis, there's a way they're going to know at Oak Hill whether or not at Harmony Church in Donelson I actually preached from Genesis 4 times. Do you know how? Well, they simply call the names. They could call Brother Bloyd, because he was there, right? They could call Brother Sonny because he was there. And it would soon be proven false because there were eyewitnesses that could check it out. And Paul says in the beginning of this chapter, remember, this is being written. There are above 500 people at once that saw Christ. He names the apostles, speaks of James specifically, talks about himself. And if this was not true, friends, the people that saw the risen Lord would have so discredited this epistle, it would not be in this book. The Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. It's interesting, the disciples seem to doubt more than the Romans or the Jews. You know, they would place, as it were, guards, because they were afraid it might be true. And they would have to say, you know, that someone stole his body. The disciples were just outright doubters. I mean, they just went on their way. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus. What brought about Pentecost? Friends, when the women went to the tomb, and isn't it interesting, they went first, they didn't believe it, and probably when the women went and came back, and they said, well, the women say, but when they saw him personally, their lives were altered. Friends, this truth is so epical that all of life is changed by accepting the truth that death is not the end and that Christ arose from the dead. It's a firm standing place. It's so firm, really, that it affects the way I live. Is it affecting the way you live? I'm going to see him. I know that he died. I know that he makes intercession for me. In fact, let's notice some of the facts concerning the resurrection and really be the second point. Not only the truth of the resurrection that is a standing place, but this epical occurrence of Christ's resurrection from the dead makes and gives us clarification of our lives. It is a truth, and it clarifies what life is about. We notice then further in this passage, for instance, we could go to verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. But what he is saying, Christ is raised, and you're not in your sins. Everybody wonders, am I really loved? Does anybody really care? Am I yet to stand for myself one day before a holy God? The resurrection of Jesus Christ clarifies all of these concerns. When I think of the life that we live and standing before the Lord, there's several things that we could ponder. And really, there's just several simple areas that we can look at that bring us great meaning. When I think of the subject of Christ's work on the earth, it will so clarify who you are, what this world's about, and what the afterlife is, that you'll never be the same. For instance, Just to ponder, and Brother Charles mentioned it just briefly before services, just think of the fact that the Scriptures say in the book of Romans, he was delivered for our offenses, but was raised again for our justification. Christ being raised from the dead declares that my sins and yours and all of God's family are no longer charged to them. That changes my view of self and my view of you. You know, it's one thing to tell a husband he's supposed to be kind and compassionate and considerate to his wife. But if you can get the point across, that's not just his wife. that's a child of the King that he's caring for has a little more weight to it. In fact, one time, Charlotte, I'd been, you know, about visiting this person, trying to take care of that person, trying to be a, you know, a model pastor, and I got home one night and she says, "Just remember, I'm one of your members also." Well, that sort of altered, you know, kind of upped the ante, you know. Friends, the truth of the resurrection alters the way we view life. Romans earlier in chapter 3 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans 8 would tell us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. And this truth of Christ being raised alters our view of sin. We are free from what would come our way otherwise. In fact, Romans 8, and you're very familiar with this language, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." When we moved from Georgia to Texas, the church was so kind, sent us cash, and we had enough junk to fill two moving vans. And it was kind of pricey. It took about $2,000 to load us all up in 1994 to move back to Texas. And to reserve those trucks, I had to give them a credit card, but I paid in cash. Later, after we had moved, I got in the mail a bill that I owed the truck company $2,000 cash. Do you think I paid it? I did not pay it. Why? It was already paid. The truth of Christ's resurrection says the debt has been paid. And when a criminal has paid his due to society after his crime, and the doors swing open and he goes out, he cannot be charged to pay the crime again. The grave was empty. The tomb was empty. Christ had arisen, and sins are not charged to us ever again with regards to eternal punishment. That is epical. That is freeing. That is blessing. Children, you get all over yourselves. I have a grandchild that seems to be prone to think, I'll never get it right. I can't do anything right. I'm always doing everything wrong. I never measure up to my parents. And it's the truth of Christ that keeps him going. When he turns back to the realization that in the Lord, my sins are not charged to me, I'm okay. So the truth of the resurrection is epical. One other thought before we go on in Romans chapter 5. I love this thought. He says in verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us." Hope maketh not ashamed. The word there means makes us not confounded. In fact, 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 6 uses that word completely. 'It is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.'" We're talking about it was a fact. And that in that sense, the resurrection totally and completely is a standing place. But now we're looking at the fact it clarifies life. Are you confounded about who you are, where you came from, where you're going? Are you confused about whether or not you're still guilty before God? Are you confused and thinking that you're going to find everything in the world you need? The resurrection clarifies all that. And he says in the book of Romans chapter 5 there, we're not ashamed or confused about it anymore. I may be on this earth, but as a child that was loved before time and my sins remitted, I'm bound for glory. And friends, that gives you an armor that will shield you from the discouragements of life. The resurrection gives us a standing. The resurrection clarifies life. You could look at all the other doctrines that are also proved through the resurrection. But let's notice one other thought. And that simply is that the resurrection gives us a future, gives us a hope of life to come. He says, then they also, verse 18, which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But since Christ did arise, those which are fallen asleep in Christ have not perished. When my dad passed away in November, just a few weeks from being 99, I was told by one of my cousins, said, Dickie, there's a difference when your second parent dies. Well, I accepted what he said, but it didn't really impact me. Till the days wore into weeks and the weeks went into months, and now here we are this much later. But the reality, because of the resurrection, I'm actually going to see my dad again. Do you get it? We're going to see Brother Compton again. We're going to dwell with the saints forever. I was 17 in high school. My best friend came down with leukemia. Was not treatable. First year in college, he passed away. It was my first real, reality check. That was the first time I remember ever sobbing, just almost in convulsions. I just couldn't get over it. But the resurrection changes that. On the Mount of Transfiguration, where Christ was taken up, and there Moses and Elijah conversed with Christ. Friends, this is epical. Life here is but a short span. We're sinners, and there's a lot of trouble in this world. But Christ came down to save us from our sins. That he arose proves he did save us from our sins. It gives us a standing. It clarifies life. And there's a future ahead of us. I'll see my mother. Charlotte and I had the blessing of 3 children. And we love them dearly. Charlotte actually experienced 2 miscarriages. I'm not calling attention to us. I'm trying to bring about a point. We loved our babies. Now we love our grandchildren. We were visiting not so long ago, traveling, and we got to talking about the 2 miscarriages and that the children would be in their 20s, where all of our other children are up in their 30s. And, well, 40 really, but and just the thought that we would have children young now. We've been told all the grandchildren have already, come our way. We got to wait for great grands now. But the thought came to us, if those 2 children had lived, we'd still be having grandbabies. And then the thought clicks, but we'll see him in glory. I don't know about you, friends. Life gets weary. I get tired, I'll be honest with you, with life. Just the difficulties of pressing on, keeping a stiff upper lip sometimes. But we've been loved by a heavenly Father who gave His only darling Son for us, that everything that's awful in this world is going to be undone, and everything is going to be wonderful in glory forever. I want to encourage you here at Harmony. What a blessed spirit there is here. Your singing has cheered my heart as much as any song service I've ever been in at any place, any time. And you have something to stand for. You have a firm standing. And friends, may I encourage you that it'll clarify life. There's reason to come here on Sunday morning when your neighbors are sleeping in and you think, I wish I could sleep in. No, it clarifies life. I want to go over there to that church, raise my voice in song, and say how much I love the Lord who loved me. And your labors are not in vain in the Lord, because one day the sky is going to break and Christ is going to come again. And we're going to live with Him forever in a perfect world where there's love that is true and deep and everlasting.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.